When guest list shapes up like this, at the bottom of the hour, we will get to Bill Seals, who covers Iowa State for CycloneReport.com. Nate Heise is officially a member of TJ's squad, so we'll talk about that. Football news, if there is any, with Bill Seals. Basketball, we'll cover it all, Cyclone-related, with Bill Seals coming up here at 11:30. From the Clones to the Hawks, Wade Looking, Bill, give Wade an opportunity. I want to say goodbye as much as anything. I'm grateful to all of our guests that join us throughout a season, if you will, as Wade does for Hawkeye men's basketball. But pick his brain on the women as well. Sanford going into the declaring for the NBA, that would be a story in and of itself. Didn't know he played football. He's going to declare for the NBA draft, but he's going to maintain his college eligibility, which isn't a surprise. He's doing the right thing. 12:05, Frank Schwab covers the NFL for YahooSports.com. We will talk to Frank, and then off to Chicago we will go and talk with the Cap Man, Centurion Stone of Iowa, sponsors Cappy on a weekly basis. Chicago Sports in the Spotlight with Cappy coming up here at 12:30. Trent's Plays of the Day, sponsored by Circa, before we get out of here, just before 1. Now, we got that out of the way. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
Doing okay.
Yeah.
Doing okay.
NIT last night?
I watched a little bit of the first game. Uh-huh. It was really good for the first half, and then Indiana State just, yeesh.
Couldn't miss?
They couldn't miss. They couldn't miss. And if you're on Utah, you were thinking, when are they going to miss?
They didn't.
They didn't miss. But on they go to the championship game tomorrow night at Hinkle, where they are a 3.5-point favorite over Seton Hall. Not sure we're going to talk more about that game. It might show up in Trent's Plays of the Day tomorrow at some point. We shall see. So baseball for me last night, for the most part, other than the basketball, which was there briefly. I mean, the Cubs fitting the crap out of the baseball. Mm-hmm. But you have to keep in mind, they're doing so against the Colorado Rockies, which is not a good baseball team.
Still, it was Freeland on the mound, who's
he's not. If he's there's going to be, if there is one Rocky that you know is going to give you a potentially a quality start, you would think it would be him. That wasn't the case last night, as the Cubbies played some long ball with the Rockies pitching staff. A big win.
You know, watching that, and I had that one on last night too, and just hearing Boog, he's so good.
He is, isn't he?
He's so talented. Yeah. When Morrell hit the home run, he was trying to tell a story. And most baseball announcers can do this pretty well. He might be at the top of the game, though, of being able to go from kind of goofing around. Him and, I mean, it's a fun booth. They're just
it's a good booth.
It's
I agree
a couple
with
of
you.
Fun guys. Yeah. And he's trying to tell a story, and there are just a couple of things that kept out, and he couldn't get it out. Mm-hmm. And then he's starting to get to the story again, and Morrell hits, and just seamlessly goes into the whole run call. It was so good last night. It was just one of those moments where you are just
he's
awesome.
A pro.
Yes, how
he's
good these guys can be.
And it's not just Mom, we see him doing basketball. Mm-hmm. He's great, whatever he does. So I did flip over to 665 for part of it to watch the White Sox and the Braves. I caught the final two innings.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. The Cubs game was so pathetic.
Yeah.
And there was no hockey game that was moving my needle last night, and the basketball was starting to get away, and I wasn't into the second game, Seton Hall's win. So I went over. So speaking of announcers, it was really the first time I'd heard Benetti's replacement with the White Sox. Again, it's change. It's I don't know.
Yeah.
It's look, big shoes to fill, obviously.
Right.
Benetti is beloved. Sean said, told me that 90% of White Sox fans loved him. The other 10, Miss Harrelson, I get that. That wanted more of a homer in the booth, apparently. But this guy is just different, is what it is, I guess. Give it some time. Because as recalled, I wasn't a big Shambi fan.
You weren't, which I was baffled by.
I miss Len Kasberg. Why would you break those two up? Why would you let them get away? All right, since we're on announcers, yesterday afternoon, I'm watching your Twins and the Brewers.
So you were on 668 as opposed to 669.
I was.
You were on Valley Sports North, not Wisconsin.
Correct. Spent a little time on both because I was on with DirecTV because I, for whatever reason, my Bally Sport, my, what do they call it? The sports package was not working.
Oh, no.
It's working when it comes out of my bank account.
Well, of course.
It wasn't working when I got my remote in my hand. But I got it fixed, so I had to flip flap and forth. But anyways, where I wanted to go was, I don't know, it was early in the game and missed it during commercial break, but they played it. I think it was 668, played the tribute, the welcome back to opening day to Bob Uecker.
Oh, really?
Who's 90 years old.
Wild.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And Trent, he's still, to me, who doesn't listen to him every day.
Yeah.
I'm not at the kitchen table with him. Seems like he's sharp as a tack.
Absolutely.
Right?
I get the same thing.
It's unbelievable. And I think he's kind of got, if I quit, the guy's going to catch up with me at the front door with the black robe and the sickle. So I'm going to just keep working. And thank God he is.
Yes.
Thank God he is. Now, I didn't grow up with him. I've heard him very few times doing games. Heard him more so on a movie.
In Major League, yeah.
Major League. Yeah. Than actually hearing Brewers baseball, because he does the radio, not the TV. It's Brian Anderson when he's available. But my God, 90 years old, and still the fan base just loves him. They stood in unison clapping for their longtime, I think it was opening day number 54 for him as the voice of the Brewers. Think about that.
It's unthinkable.
It's incredible. He's doing this, what, 12 years before you're born?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah. Next week, I'm going to be 44. He's been around for a very long time. Yeah. Doing it at a high level.
Yes.
Entertaining, exciting, all the things that you want. He's become
sharp
an institution. And still doing it at 90, tip of the ball.
So your guy, Provis.
Provis.
He's good.
He is good.
He's really good.
You don't remember him?
I don't,
when
Trent.
He was with the Cubs, even, when he was the, what do they call that guy? That's basically does the fifth inning.
Yeah. On TV or on radio?
On radio, pre and post for the Cubs.
Yeah.
I would think, now this was, during the aughts, during the 2000s, okay, that he had that gig before he went out to San Diego, I think was his next stop, before he got to Minnesota on the radio side. I would figure you had heard him before, remember the name.
I don't.
Now, I used to listen to a lot of Cubs baseball just because it was
in the car, and
so, and they were on, and you could get them, kind of wherever you were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard a lot of him, but yeah, he's a pro.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
And I see now why they kind of nudged Bremer out a little bit.
I'm going to anticipate there was maybe another gig coming his way.
Provis? Oh, I see.
Corey Provis is probably going to.
I'll get the name right before the season's over.
You'll get there. Get there. That at some point, somebody was calling.
Yeah.
Could have been the White Sox.
Might have been. That's a great point.
Whoever it was, though, somebody was calling and saying, all right, we have to do it now, or we're going to lose who we believe is going to be the guy for the next 2 decades, 3 decades. I mean, he's that good. He's that young. I think he's in his 40s himself. He's been around for a while, but he's still got a lot of runway in front of him. Yep. So I would anticipate that was the reasoning behind it. Remember when I brought it up with PA, though?
This was, yes, I do.
And PA was like baffled that asked the question.
Right.
Like, oh no, this wasn't pushing Dick Burton. Kind of felt that
pushed.
Way.
Yeah, he was pushed.
It definitely felt that way. But they do have a pro there. He's really good.
Yep.
And the thing that I loved about Dick Bremer, especially when he got away from Burt, he was he was more willing to go into analytics, do those different things. Speaking of that, they put up a little chyron of who was it yesterday? Louis Harlan. And max pitch velocity 123. I think they got the chyron wrong on that one.
I'm guessing that probably would be a record.
Yeah.
Varlin was okay yesterday.
Yeah, he's all right. Got into some trouble. Was able to battle out a couple of different times. All right. I want to talk about the National League Central.
Okay.
There are 5 teams that can win this division. Is that hyperbolic?
The Brewers have played the Mets, swept the Mets. Let's get to the end of this Twin Series.
Sure. Well, and even then. But, all right. I'm going to make a case for each of the
Cardinals
teams.
Are off to a great start.
Cardinals are off to an excellent.
Yep.
They're 3-3, but playing some good teams.
Yeah. Well, look at that. We're in the start of the, in L.A. against the Dodgers, for crying out loud. That's not easy.
We know they're not going to tear it down. They're not a team. They said it a year ago. That's not what they're going to do. And if they need to spend coming up at the break, at the deadline, they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. It's the Cardinals, and it's just the Cardinals. I mean, it's pretty simple one there. Cubs, we both like coming into the season.
Yep,
nothing,
still do.
Nothing has changed there.
Nope.
Reds with the young talent.
Yep.
Hunter Green and company, if they get enough pitching, their offense is definitely enough that they can win this division. And we're talking about a division where it might be 85, 86 wins.
I think that's probably a fair number.
The Brewers have the best bullpen in baseball. And Williams isn't even there right now.
Right.
And he's going to be there.
Yeah, that's true.
If they have a lead going into the sixth inning, it's over. That's what they have built with that bullpen. I don't love the offense.
Right.
But with a bullpen like that, even with a couple of top line starting pitching, I think they have enough, again, to win 84, 86 games in that range. And then you get to the Pirates, which is the longest shot, but they're also 5-0.
And to be fair, that's how they started last year. I mean, they tore up the month of April. I think that they're built, and they did so without Cruz.
Right.
And they went in and got a catcher yesterday. I don't know if that was an area of need, but they've addressed that already.
The young talent is starting to come up here, yeah. And maybe this is the year that they catch fire. Remember, 2 years ago we saw the Orioles, really good start, tapered off as the season went on with all that young talent. Are we looking at the same thing here with the Pirates?
Do you think that the Brewers at some point, if they still maintain relevancy, well, what the hell were we thinking? Get rid of Corbin Burns.
Well, probably, but that's just kind of what you have to do as a small market team, right?
I guess.
And you have to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. It's easy in hindsight to look back, and they thought they were probably rebuilding and retooling, but with that back end of the bullpen, they were so good yesterday. The Twins had no shot at all against the four different guys that came in for the Brewers there. So I don't think it's hyperbolic that you can make a strong case, not just a passing, a strong case for all five.
Do you have the divisional odds?
That's a good one. I'll see if I can pop those up here quick.
Because there's got to be some more than fair value out there for some of those teams. I don't know. I would guess that the Cubs are still favored because we're talking, they're the Cubs after all.
All right. Odds to win divisions. This is from Circa Sports. They have them all updated here. Your betting favorite right now, and you're getting better odds than you did before the season.
It's the Cubs.
It's the Cardinals.
It's the Cardinals.
Plus 225 on the birdies on the back.
Because they played the Dodgers so tough?
Maybe, but better odds than you got before the season when they were in the plus 180 range.
Yeah.
You get them plus 225. Right behind them is the Cubs. Plus 235 on the Cubs. Your third betting choice is the Cincinnati Reds. Mm-hmm. Plus 335. And they were a tick higher before the year. Like 380, I think, was the number, at least a day or two before opening day. The Brewers are the fourth betting choice, plus 580. Maybe worth a stab. And the Pirates, plus 865. But I am going to anticipate, without looking at the other divisions, there's not another division where nobody is 10-1 or better to win it, right? This has got to be the only division.
Maybe the American League East.
Red Sox are a little better than 17-1. So they're well over that.
That would have been the one.
The White Sox are the long shot in the AL Central at 82-1.
What about the
the A's are 493-1.
The Rockies are 2,000,000-1.
Oh, Rockies.
The Miami Marlins are. You're 100% right, Trent.
This is a fun division.
It is a fun division.
It's not a great division,
but it's good. But it's going to lead to some teams that are you still think have a chance.
Yes.
Right? I don't think anybody's going to run away with it. We shall see. All right, we'll run away with baseball. We'll get back to it, I'm guessing, at 12:30 with Cappy. Bill Seals coming up on Iowa State. Wade looking Bill on Iowa. So we saw the number come out, the television number, which blew me away.
Insane. Yes.
I mean, I thought that there would be
a lot
of
people.
We thought it was going to be big. Yeah, 8-9 million could be big. Monday night, ESPN, cable TV, blah, blah, blah. 12:30. Are you kidding me? What's Friday going to do?
You're talking about the biggest brand in women's basketball in UConn.
Uh-huh.
The biggest TV draw over the last three decades.
Mm-hmm.
Against a transcendent star.
Mm-hmm.
On a Friday night.
Uh-huh.
In prime time.
Is she the face of women's sports?
Yes.
Sports.
Yes.
Not college sports.
Serena's not around anymore.
She's not. That's the first name popped in my head, too.
Katie Ledecky.
Swimmer.
The best golfers, most of them.
Every 4 years, Katie Ledecky's relevant.
Right. It'll come up this summer.
Sure. For the last time, because I think she's almost at that age where some of the youngsters will be.
Simone Biles.
Four years.
Yeah, but it's the same kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
It's not a stretch.
It's not a stretch, is it?
No. It's happening right now, and maybe that's.
Sure. The latest is always the greatest. Yes. But in a team sport, who are we missing? Well, I mean, what women's team sport moves the needle?
U.S. national team. They're coming into the new territory.
She's going to be a part of it.
I'm talking about the soccer team, sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right.
But we're coming into a new age with a lot of new stars
there. Right, who we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Morgan's still part of it, but she doesn't have many left.
No.
All those names.
And was Alex Morgan, again, we're really close to it. Was Alex Morgan this on a national scale?
No, because she had teammates that stole some of her spotlight.
Absolutely, yes. I don't think there is one.
I don't think there is either. I think she is the face of women's sports for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
And she's 22.
I think 60, 70 years from now, we'll be talking, well, not we.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
People will be talking about her. Think of what we're saying.
Yes. Yeah.
Amongst way back in the day, mm-hmm. right? Way back in the day.
How we talk about Babe Ruth.
Yes.
How we talk about Al Kinnick. How we talk about those kind of people, uh-huh. those kind of stars, Joe DiMaggio, on and uh-huh. on and on. Yeah, she is going to be at that level. Now, it has to continue. If she's a flame out in the WNBA, right. it changes.
She won't be, but if she right. is, right, if she is.
Injuries, yes. crap, whatever happens.
True.
If that does happen, uh-huh. it won't. But if it continues the path that I think most everybody feels like it's going to,
mm-hmm.
yes, she is going to be looked at that light.
But she's costing herself money staying, going to the... What is Darren Rovell? Does he just refuse to...
He's an idiot. He's a dumb
person. Okay, I'll give you that.
He's a dumb person.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah. You know, when he was with Action
Network...
But
does he not have friends?
No. I mean, he is weird. He's a weird duck.
Uh-huh.
And you throw that in...
Well, the collections. I mean, this guy, some of the stuff that he collects. And how much money is this guy worth if he's got that much money to, you know, throw it away? Not throw it away. I mean, yeah,
he's
everybody collects things.
Yeah.
You know, some of them hit, some of them don't, Rio Dueñas.
And he doesn't want to back down.
He won't.
He won't.
He will not quit while he's behind.
Right.
Just he's going to die on that hill.
You get to keep digging deeper
and
deeper and
deeper. And
he did
it again yesterday.
Yeah.
But it's just remarkable to me that we are in the... not beginning stages, but we're catching this trajectory as it's starting to really catch fire and move to a level that, I mean, nobody, we thought it was going to be a big story, but what the story has become. So back to Friday night and my point or my question to you, what's this going to do if a Monday night at 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock Pacific does 12.3 million? And you said it yesterday. It's too bad they could put it on ABC, but
yes.
they can't, I don't think. What will Friday night do in prime time? What will it do?
We anticipated, and people that know TV viewership better than us, you know, thought that it was going to be in that $7-8 million range of, mm-hmm. of viewers, and it blew
that
it.
Away.
15? 18? Can they get 20 million if it's a compelling game coming down the stretch?
And if, because I think UConn's going to give them all they want.
Mm-hmm.
If South Carolina wins,
mm-hmm.
and Iowa wins.
Yes.
And we fast forward to Sunday afternoon on ABC with the build-up over the weekend
yeah.
with Caitlin Clark's final game for sure.
Yes, no doubt about it.
For sure?
Yeah.
Going up against South Carolina, unbeaten, the team that that's lost, what, once in 2 years?
Right.
Happened to be against Iowa and Caitlin Clark. What's that number going to be?
20.
Oh, I hope
think
we
of what
see
we're
it.
Talking about.
It's incredible, Trent. It is so.
Can you imagine?
No.
A niche sport, and that's what women's basketball was for a long time.
Yep.
That got good numbers: mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3 million for the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
Good viewers.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine suddenly NASCAR turning into those kind of television numbers?
No.
Could you imagine college baseball?
No.
Suddenly, just doing that, there's no shot.
No.
Wrestling. We love wrestling here in the
yep.
state. I love wrestling.
Yeah.
We've had stars.
Yeah. College baseball's had stars.
Nothing like this.
Nothing.
We had, you can't say his name, Paul Skews?
Skeens,
yeah.
Boy, he's something.
He's great.
And he's a pirate.
Yeah, but.
And he's going to be up soon, so maybe your pirate's ticket
yeah.
might be. Anyways, yeah.
He didn't do that.
No.
Maybe a tick up. Oh, 11% increase.
Yeah, maybe in Baton Rouge.
Right. But not at that level.
Uh-uh.
There is one.
Yep.
It's Caitlin Clark.
It is.
She has done this, and it will help on Friday night
mm-hmm.
if the lead-in's good, if the South Carolina NC State game's close going to the
will
head.
Will it be?
I think NC State hangs around.
Do
they,
you?
They have been really good against top-level competition. Mm-hmm. You know, the crazy thing is this South Carolina team, they have 5 new starters.
Yeah.
Cardoso last year came off the bench. Mm-hmm. Now, that's kind of ridiculous in its own right,
right.
But because she played a ton.
Yeah.
But their starters from a year ago are all playing professionally, and here comes the new crew. And they're awesome,
mm-hmm.
and they're really good. But NC State, the way that they're built, the way they played against top-level competition, I think they at least hang around.
How about NC State in both Final Fours?
Isn't that?
It's just wild, isn't it?
Could you imagine, though, being, so the, what, men's team in for the first time since 86?
It's been that long?
It's been that long.
83 since they won?
Won at 83. The women, their second ever appearance, last was in 99. And if you're a huge basketball fan, and I'm going to guess in Carolina, there's quite a few of those.
You think?
Yeah. And then you got to make that decision.
Oh, it's the
what
way
do we
to
do?
Go.
Now you can drive from Raleigh and make it up to Cleveland? Mm-hmm. Or do we make the flight?
Yeah, Phoenix, long way. By the way, that stadium in it's not Phoenix. Is it Glendale?
Yes, yes, it is.
It's way, way, way north.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's out there. Seemingly, now they're building up around. There's a bunch of hotels. You can tell that they're new. But when the building was built, it was probably out there all by itself, and the city's caught up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But to your question, what do you do? Do you because the men are getting through. The men are getting to Monday night.
NC State?
Oh, NC State. Yeah, no. No, then they're not. They've got UConn. No, yeah. They're not getting to NC.
No.
They're not getting through.
No.
The women.
No, it's not, NC State.
It's a coin flip. It's a coin flip.
NC State can't beat Purdue? You're dying on that hill?
Yeah, I am.
You're dying
Zach
on
that? Zach Edey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just.
Two fouls. It's a 40-minute game.
Yeah, but I mean, Burns is good and everything, but has he ever played anything like this?
Nobody has. And teams have been able to slow him down. He's playing at an incredible level, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But it's not just Burns either, right? I mean, no. They got the other big guy.
No.
And Diarra.
Yep.
Who, they got a couple of bodies that they can throw his way.
Cannell's nephew.
Matt Painter against a double-digit seed.
Uh-huh.
If I'm picking one upset
that's
in the
one it's going to be?
Definitely. That's the one. Now,
all right.
Because Alabama could hit 15 threes, and that's what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And they could still lose by 50. I don't think it's a stretch. UConn hasn't even played that well offensively.
No, until well the second half the other day.
Well, even that, you look at the final statistical profile, it wasn't elite. It's not like they're shooting lights out, and they could still do that.
How long was the actual time between?
So 45 minutes.
I was going to say 52.
Was that what it was? Yeah.
I mean, almost an hour without scoring. Almost an hour of real time. Now, sure, there was an intermission in there, but still. An hour without scoring. Unbelievable.
Yeah, UConn shot 3 of 17 from 3 against Illinois.
So they've got another level. Yeah,
they have another level.
So you think we may see NC State UConn on Monday night?
I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. I still will pick Purdue to win that one. And I got that ticket, UConn over Purdue, that I got before the Sweet 16.
What did you get it at?
950 plus 950.
That's good.
That's a good one.
Yep. So you could take some.
I have no Purdue stuff, though. Absolutely none.
I got a bunch of South Carolina Purdue stuff.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I hope I lose on Saturday, on Sunday. I do.
Yeah.
I really do. Well, I mean, if it's UConn, I hope South Carolina beats the pants off them.
Right.
But if it's Iowa, I hope I lose my tickets. I really do. That would make me so happy.
A national championship.
I never thought it would happen in my tenure here.
No.
Two wins away. Got close last year.
Yes.
Two wins away. Jesus, unreal. 11:25. We'll take a timeout. We will talk Iowa State on the other side. What did Sean Roberts just send me? Someone is leaving. Nick Norton is following DeVries to West Virginia.
Oh, okay. Had that injury, pretty early in that season when he came in as a...
Yeah.
And they were really excited about him.
They were. What happens to Sturts? Who's, was he a grad assistant on DeVries' staff? I know he was on the bench.
He's making his way to Phoenix and talking to everybody.
You think he is?
Yeah.
You don't think McCollum hires him? Is McCollum going to hire Richter? Would Richter take the job if he did?
I don't know. I would anticipate they probably cross paths. That would probably make a lot of sense.
But could you take that job knowing that you wanted that job and the guy that's...
Yeah, a lot of assistants want. What's this love affair with Marty Richter? You got to help me out here.
I think it's the team loves him. I think he's a player's guy. I don't know. I mean, I get it.
This happens to assistants across the country.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I don't get it. I know brought in a lot of the guys. I understand all that. But the love affair that I've heard from some Drake fans, from the outside looking in, yeah, he's a top assistant.
I think you hired the right guy.
There's no doubt.
I do. I think you hired the right guy. Here's one more real quick, because I don't know the answer to this. I don't know the answer to about a lot of things. Drake's basketball banquet's coming up this week.
Mm-hmm.
Are DeVries is there?
No.
Can you have him without him, though?
Yeah.
Well, who are you going to have?
It might be a late dinner.
You can save some money.
Extra steak for the people that are
stuck
around.
Grab seconds.
Yes. Right? We got you help. We got you hooked up here.
I mean, they're all gone.
You want to take a steak home?
So who's it going to be? McCollum can't go. It's not his team.
Well, yeah, you can go.
Why do you want the coach who wasn't part of this year's team there? Doesn't Darren DeVries and Tucker DeVries have to be at this thing?
No.
Would they be welcome?
Probably.
Should be. Of course they would be.
Yeah. But it's weird, right? You don't.
It is weird, but it's they're part of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Where would they be with without the kid?
Mm-hmm. Do you cancel it?
Do you cancel the banquet this year? That's a great question.
Do something different?
Because they probably, wherever it's going to be, probably reserve space for, if they were on the ball and probably got this locked in January. You're gonna
get your top donors are going to come.
Yeah, 100 people maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Now it's going to be donors and Admire. Sean Roberts won't be there. He's on vacation.
Oh, okay.
Harden?
Yeah.
He's got their own table.
And the two or three. Hey, who invite whoever you want. You got somebody in class. Got a girl that you've been winking at.
I think you have to throw out the welcome mat for Darren and Tucker DeVries.
And I don't think you come back.
But they got a house to pack up.
It's a dinner. It would be odd. I don't know. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, I
that's a weird one.
It is. Apparently, McCollum's speaking at the banquet.
Oh, yeah.
I just got that text.
New coach.
Good coach. Well, anyways, we'll take a timeout. We'll talk Iowa State when we come back. Then Iowa. Then the NFL to start hour number two. And Chicago Sports with Cappy about an hour from now. Miller and Condon on a Wednesday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com momentarily. By the way, just real quick on this. Did you see AJ Storrs? Did you see what the money that he turned down?
From Kansas, right?
From Kansas. So I did some digging. I talked to a guy that I know that covers Wisconsin who asked to be his name to be left out of it.
Uh-huh.
I won't say your name.
Badger Ken over there has got a lot of Wisconsin
connections. A lot of connections when it comes to Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And I asked him if it was true.
Uh-huh.
And he said it's absolutely true that he turned down $750,000. The tweet that I saw, because he's holding out for $1 million,
mm-hmm.
The number that my source, he said it was $900,000. But still.
So that's a going rate for a top-level player in the portal.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that I mean.
Get the money while you can, kids.
Yeah, you get the money while you can, that's for sure. Bill Seals joins us, CycloneReport.com. Bill, I guess I knew they were getting paid, and I knew it was a lot of money. I had no idea that you could command that much in the portal. And Storrs a great player, not sure if you saw him or not, but he's a great player. But my God, holding out for $1 million? Does that surprise you, Bill?
Yeah, that's the going rate. Didn't Dickinson got over $1 million from KU, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And that Timberlake who sat on the bench for Kansas, who UConn wanted in the last way, ended up at Kansas because Kansas beat UConn's price. So maybe, which was a waste of money because Timberlake did nothing for the Jayhawks, essentially. Anyways, just crazy. So Nate Heisey is a Cyclone. Wonder what that cost.
Why don't you call Brent Bloom?
Jeez. No, but I'll get an aside when it comes to Heisey. I think this is a good fit, Bill. Mm-hmm. I do. And I love the fact that this isn't just 1 year. This is 2 year. There would seldom, in fact, I'm going to go on a limb and say there wouldn't be a conversation Trent and I had about any Panther game where Heisey's name did not come up. He was an important part of that roster. Just your thoughts. And they beat Minnesota, apparently, for Heisey.
Yeah, I think he's a nice piece to plug in. I think as you saw, and even TJ would tell you throughout the course of the season that the top teams are the ones that have the most depth, it seems like, in the guard court. And they tried to address that with this. Heisey, some would call him like a small forward, some would call him a shooting guard. I think Iowa State looks at him anywhere from a one to a four, depending, if he's a four, maybe they want to play a little bit small. And he's versatile in that way. I think he can come in and pick up what Kyle Green does on the defensive side with that system. And he's, I think, was around a 36-37% three-point shooter. So someone who can come in and score when needed as well. I'm not sure that he's going to be a guy that comes in and starts and really beats out a Lipsy, Gilbert,
mm-hmm.
Stone, Palm Chima Beach, any of those, but I think he's certainly a guy that can come in and give you 10 to 20 minutes a game. You know, maybe a little bit taller version of what they got in
Kirk
Jackson and someone that I don't think is going to disappear like he did, you know, at 6 foot going up against some of the defenses.
Could he be Curtis Jones' role? This year's role? Could he have that next year?
Yeah, most certainly. Most certainly he could. And you, 2 years, that's a big deal. You get him in the system. He's going to be here, and he says the middle of May, get started in summer conditioning in June. So he'll be plenty up to speed by the time they even play this season.
Three scholarships still available, which is a ton, and it looks like the roster, you're loaded, maybe looking at another big guy. I mean, is that kind of the next domino, another big to pair in there with Jackson coming in from Charlotte? Is that kind of what they're looking at in your mind?
Well, a couple of, I think that the two that they're in the best with right now, Trent, are probably Javon Hadley out of Colorado and William Kyle out of South Dakota State. They've had plenty of contact with each of those two. And gosh, you know, William Kyle, 6'9", 230, we certainly saw in that game against Iowa State how much of a weapon he was able to be. That's going against what Iowa State had in the front court. So he's a Nebraska guy. I think you know, the Huskers might have a little say in that before it's all said and done, but I think the Cyclones feel good where they are with him, and that would certainly fit the definition of that other post that they're feeling pretty good about. Hadley, the relation with Curtis Jones, we just brought him up a moment ago, and he's coming out of Colorado. I think the Cyclones feel pretty good about him right now as well. So I think those are the two you want to focus on here. Maybe we see some news on in the next week or two.
And Kyle Scott, how much eligibility has he got left? Was he a junior or sophomore?
Yeah, he was actually listed as a sophomore this season at South Dakota State. You know, it's hard to tell with so many of these guys anymore, you know, with the COVID years and stuff. That's not going to be a thing with him. So the way I'm looking at it is he's got 3 years to play too.
Nice. So where did his teammate Mayo end up? He just landed somewhere.
Kansas. He just committed to Kansas yesterday.
Okay, so. And that's where he's from, though, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, back in Lawrence, Kansas, and yes, kind of a shame that South Dakota State team, they
jeez,
were really at that level and now just decimated. But then again, I mean, if you're Hendo out there, you kind of know it goes with the territory by now.
Hey, tell us a little bit more. I know we've talked about him in the past, but the incoming freshman with Dwayne Pierce coming in next season, along with Andrusinaitis, I'll get it at that point. But, yeah. By the time we get there next year, fill us in on those two guys.
Yeah, I think Noyes Andrusinaitis is how I'm saying it. So, but he chose the prep school route this year, went out east, and I think that got him a lot more exposure and versus kind of what he had in the Chicago private school ranks. So, out at Brewster Prep out there out east. So, I think he's a guy that this is just as me speculating here, but I think that the strides that Noyes made this year, maybe that gave Jelani Hamilton a little pause.
Ah, okay.
Situation, because I think Andrusinaitis is going to be Milan Momcilovic of next season. He's a guy that's going to come in, I think, and challenge to play big minutes right off the bat. Dwayne Pierce, he's maybe in a little bit different boat. He comes in, and you never know how injuries shake out or whatnot, but he probably is a guy, maybe a redshirt possibility, just because of such the depth that Iowa State has in the backcourt right now. And he was a guy that was more in the shooting guard role, but from my understanding, they wanted him as a senior to be more on the ball and kind of be a leader in that way. So he's another one of those guys that comes in. He can play the point. He can play probably anywhere from the one through the three, or maybe one through the four, depending on how they want to go. So very good two prospects coming in from the high school ranks, and maybe we see another thing play out where one of them red shirts. I don't think Indrasatis red shirts, though. He shoots the ball too well, and they need someone like that. So if he can pick it up and defensively and add a little muscle when he gets to Ames, I think he's in good shape to play big minutes.
Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com is our guest. Miller and Condon, 106.3 KXNO. Bill, have you or any of your the network, Rivals Network, any intel onto who's maybe talking to Omaha Ballou? What schools may be interested in him, where Ballou's leaning towards? Any intel there?
Not really. It's been pretty quiet as far as the schools looking at him. There was a post out yesterday as far as kind of the schools Jelani Hamilton had heard from, but nothing, no intel coming out as far as Ballou goes. But I tell you, it would be interesting with Darian DeVries going out to West Virginia and the Waukee connections, obviously. With his son going out there now, and maybe a little bit of a Waukee type of reunion out there in Morgantown. You never know. There's been some speculation about that. I'm not sure if there's been any serious contact there, but would be an interesting landing spot for him and still be able to play at a pretty high level out there.
Tomorrow night, we get to see Hassan Ward in the slam dunk contest. Pretty good, cool honor for him. Yeah, he's going to be there with the three-point contest and, of course, the slam dunk competition from the Final Four venue down in Phoenix over at Grand Canyon University they're going to be doing that. Pretty cool honor there for Ward. We know he can dunk. I mean, we know he's got leaping ability. How about the tricky dunks, though? You see anything in warm-ups and say, oh, man, maybe he's got something here.
Well, he certainly could probably leap over some very tall people and do some dunks. Yeah. I would bet he was getting up some of those postseason games. It seemed like he was up 12 feet, on some of those lob plays. So that certainly opens him up to a wide array of options in that slam dunk contest. I see him doing pretty well.
No doubt. Last thing, Bill, in our final minute, any football news? I know you guys had press availability on Monday. Anything coming out of football you want to share with the audience?
Well, just they're plugging away. We have, it's been position coaches here the last couple rounds. Colby Kratz was in there. Tyler Roll, the new running backs coach, sounds like reviews this spring. Very encouraging again. Abu Sama in there. Of course, he didn't join the program full time because he did track at Southeast Polk last season. But he's getting the full off season strength and conditioning spring ball this time around, and looks like he's shining so far to say. To say it lightly. So, and then of course Carson Hansen back, a good 1-2 punch there, and those are young guys and a new running backs coach. I think with Tyler Roll coming in too, he played the position at North Dakota State, one of the up and comers in the profession right now. So I think he's going to do a good job with those guys. And then, on the defensive side, it's a very young group at linebacker. We had with Kratz on Monday, another new position coach there in the fold, but certainly knows what working under Matt Campbell is all about. He was only at North Texas one season, but other than that, he's been in Ames for much of the recent past. So I think he's going to do well with that group as well. And that was a young group, but they're no longer young either, because you've got Sadowski, been in the program now a year. McLaughlin, he's another one on the outside, and Carson Willich. They've got all those guys were young, but now they've got a lot of experience. I think they're expecting some big strides from that linebacker group as well.
CycloneReport.com, all the football news, the comings and goings in college basketball with our friend Bill Seals, CycloneReport.com. Bill, thank you. We'll speak with you next week. Thank you, Bill Seals.
Appreciate you having me. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you, Bill Seals, as we check in on Iowa State. 11:45, check in on the Hawks with our friend Wade Looking Bill next. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. 10 minutes before noon, Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO. Angel Reese makes it official. She's off to the WNBA for go that final year and turn pro. Making a big mistake. Just taking a picture.
All right, Ravel.
All right. Oh, my God. Let's get Wade Looking Bill in here. He covers Iowa for us weekly during the basketball season. We're grateful to him for that. Wade, first and foremost, thank you for what you do for us all season long. That was the main reason I wanted to have you on, is to do that publicly. Never had an opportunity to do so, but there's been some news, obviously, since the last time we spoke. How are you?
Really good. Really good. I always appreciate you guys having me on, and it's been an interesting year in men's basketball over at Iowa, to say the least.
It certainly has. The Peyton Sanford news, that's the latest, is he's going to put his name in the NBA draft, keeping his college eligibility. I don't think that surprises very many people. He is seeing his name as a second-round pick. What's your thoughts? What would it have to take for Sanford to leave his name in, do you think?
Yeah. So, a couple things. You know, everything that's happened this spring, once the season has ended over in Iowa City, nothing's a surprise. Whether it's Patrick or Tony Perkins, we can talk more about that. And I even said, or I thought Peyton would have his name and test the waters. It's a really good rule they have now. I think you can do it twice. I think you can say, hey, I want to get reviewed, or I want to get feedback, and then still come back. So, obviously, he doesn't need that. He just needs the one time. It is, and I don't follow it that close, but it's a historically weak draft, NBA draft this year. And next year is a very strong draft. Mm. So that's something I think that's going to play a big part in if he keeps his name in the draft. You know, guys like Peyton, really great players, had a good year this year. He can do one thing better than almost anybody on the planet, and that's youth basketball. So if he comes back next year, say he comes out this year and he's the 48th pick in the draft. If he comes back next year and has a really good year, lights it up, he's the 32nd or 35th pick in the draft. You know, he's not going to go from a late second rounder to a lottery pick. Right. There's just so much, you know, you got to be 6'9 and jump and be foreign and, you know, freshman and Cooper Flag and all this stuff. So I think there's a lot of things that could bring him back to Iowa City, playing with his brother, unfinished business, but there's a lot of things that can keep him in the draft.
Getting that second round guarantee would definitely be one of those things where a team says, we're going to draft you, we're going to stash you, we're going to give you a two-way contract on top of it and at least solidify yourself that way. What is it about Sanford that you look at and say he's got a better chance to stick than a Joe Wieskamp here in recent times? What is it about his game that you think can translate? Because Wieskamp hasn't played an NBA game this year. He played just 9 a season ago, and now at 24 years old, it's kind of getting to that point where it just might not happen. What gives Sanford, in your mind, a good chance?
Yeah, a couple things with Peyton. He's a little bigger. Peyton's almost 6'8". He is a big kid. When you see him in person, you know, I'm 6'6", and when I see Peyton, I stand up a little straighter, a little taller. He's a big kid. And he was their best rebounder this year on that team. I think he led the team in rebounding. I think Owen Freeman was right there, but you're talking about a 6'7.5", 6'8" guard that led your team in rebounding, and he can guard. I mean, there were times when he would block shots, he would defend, he would guard fours, threes, and twos. I think that's something that makes him very marketable in the NBA. And he is an athlete. When you think of an athlete, you think of someone who can run fast, or jump high, but Peyton's got really good feet. He's got quick hands. I think he's stronger than people think. And again, that knockdown, quick release, you know, Joe Wieskamp, looking back with his shot, it was a little slower, a little more of a looping shot, maybe a little more athletic as far as bounce off the floor, but Peyton's a really good player. I hope he comes back. Now, if he doesn't, it's a little bit like Keegan and Chris Murray, is that if he doesn't come back, like Keegan didn't, that means there's more shots for Chris that year. Yep. And there'd be more time, more minutes for Peyton. I'm sorry, for Price, because they kind of play the same position. I think he'll come back. I think it's worth just one more year with his brother. You know, he's going to be a pro for a long time. Why not come back to Iowa City one more year, play with your brother, and try to get this team improved?
Does Dix have as big of a step forward in his junior year as he did in his sophomore year? I'm not saying he's plateaued, but probably asking a lot because from where he was to where he's at now is a huge step forward. Does he have another step, do you think, Wade?
I think he does. I think he does. Again, I think his confidence, he's getting healthier. you know, there's just so much those last, once he was in the starting lineup, mm-hmm. you know, 15, 20 games ago, he's been, you know, not, I don't think their best player, but he's been right there. He's had games where 8 of 13, you know, rebounding, he brings the ball up the court. He's a really good player. He's an outstanding player. And, you know, there's still going to be some movement in Iowa City. I've been hearing things and phone calls and I don't know.
Outgoing movement, you mean?
Well, so Josh is from Council Bluffs.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
There and yeah. this and that. And Creighton's got, they got a war chest over there. You know, when you don't have football, yeah. you have a high major basketball program, all the booster money goes into men's basketball. You know, so those guys are getting top dollar at Creighton. It's a heck of a lot closer for him to go to a game mm-hmm. in Creighton for his family than it is to Iowa City. I think he comes back. I think people are starting to see now that just because you chase dollars, it's not much fun. You know, you look at Louisville women's LSU's women's basketball. Haley Van Lith was unbelievable that year she was at Louisville. And she goes to LSU and, you know, kind of star power and money. She just never looked like she was having fun on the court. Mm-hmm. And that's something you can never get back. Those guys are going to make some money playing basketball, you know, if they're a pro, if they're overseas. And you got one time to go back to be in college. And I just think that it's starting to kind of float around there that just be in college, be with your friends, and try to win some games.
Let's jump over to the women. And they want to win two more games to cut down the nets for a national championship. Wade, you love basketball, a former Hawkeye basketball player. Watching this team, what they did against LSU, just your thoughts overall as we get ready for the Final Four.
Oh, it brings tears to my eyes. I mean, it is such an emotional setting with, you know, Caitlin being from Iowa, being from Des Moines and staying at home and, you know, leading this team. And you guys, she has been better every game. Every game when they needed her to get 40, you know, If she only gets 30 or 25, when was that, Monday night, they probably get beat. Only 25, they get beat. So she has been unbelievable. And just the pieces that Coach Bluter has around her and all the off-court stuff. Now they got Paige Beckers, who was the last player of the year before Caitlin was player of the year, coming in. And Gino's kind of the, you know, the, I don't know, you love him, you hate him. He's hard to like other head coaches they've faced, but it is just an unbelievable time in our state for women's basketball and the high school games. Next year's high school class in the state of Iowa is unbelievable, and the class after that might be even better. It is just an amazing situation we have with women's basketball in the state of Iowa.
Wade Looking Bill, former Hawkeye, joins us weekly during the basketball season. We're grateful to that. Wade, we'll talk to you in the fall, if not before. Thanks again for what you do for our show. You certainly make it better. We appreciate it, Wade Looking Bill. Have a wonderful summer. Thanks, pal.
Thanks so much. Guys, call anytime.
Yep, good to hear from you. Wade Looking Bill, as we take a final look at the, well, it won't be a final look because there's going to be some new. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The Dick stuff is apparently not over. Have you heard that at Locked On Hawkeyes?
No, haven't heard anything on that front. I thought Kakert threw some cold water when we talked to him last about that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're still making calls. Look, if they lose Patrick McCaffrey and Josh Dix, this team's going to be brutal.
The fact that they're war chest, mm-hmm. and it's that close to where he grew up, I think Wade makes it good. They don't football.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
That could be bad.
It's going to be brutal.
They got a lot of work to do in the portal.
That's true. They do. Hour two coming up. We'll start with Frank Schwab, covers the NFL for YahooSports.com. David Kaplan from Chicago on Chicago Sports Trends plays the day. Hour two next. Miller and Condon, 106.3 KXNO.